Let's pray. May I speak now in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I didn't notice whether there was a perfume called Passion. Was there a perfume called Passion? No. Perhaps there should be. It's an interesting word, isn't it? Passion. If you think about it, I don't know quite what's going on in your head. I'll leave you to reflect that yourself. But today is the start of Passion Tide, Passion Sunday. It's the last 2 weeks of Lent. It's gone quickly, hasn't it? We've moved quickly through Lent, or seeming so. It's a change of emphasis. Change of emphasis. We are moving not so much with Jesus in the wilderness, in the desert, but we're journeying with him towards Jerusalem, towards the final week of his life, to the triumphal entry, to the events of that final week, and then to Good Friday and the silence of Holy Saturday and the joyous events of Easter Day. But we have a moment, don't we, now? A moment of pause, 6 days before the Sabbath with Jesus. Just to start to think a little bit about the word passion, perhaps in a theological sense, a biblical sense. The word passion to me is about being at the whim and will of others. Forces that are so strong that they're acting upon an individual. Being at the centre of a storm, as it were. If you're a storm at a ship in sea, you can't do a great deal about it, can you? You've just got to react, not of your making. And Jesus increasingly, as he comes to the end of his earthly life, is at the centre of the storm. A storm of bitterness, hatred, hypocrisy, and violence ebbs around him. He does and says less, and he is done to, and spoken to, and spoken of. He becomes the still centre. His life is being determined by the whim and will of others. But here we have a key moment, just as I said, a moment of pause. Jesus in the house of Lazarus with his sisters Mary and Martha, a familiar place to him, a place of welcome, of warmth, a place of connection. Also a very particular connection about Lazarus, who he's raised from the dead. An unbelievable relationship between Lazarus and Jesus, but one that is already setting in train the events, because the raising of Lazarus and what the attraction that has caused has put Jesus on the radar, as it were, of the authorities. He's being marked out, and this moment is here. A moment of pause, a moment of rest and reflection. But a moment that will prefigure Jesus' death. A moment of anointing. Here we have Mary with that jar of pure nard. If anybody knows what nard is, come and tell me afterwards. I haven't looked it up. A costly perfume, a whole year's wages, 300 denarii. I used to have a replica denarii coin. It's a very small coin, and in the way of it, I lost it almost immediately I'd got it, but it was a day's wages. Just ponder for a moment a year's income. For each one of us, nearly, spent on perfume, spent by Mary, an ordinary person. to give to Jesus. It's a wild and costly gesture, and we'll think about the cost a little bit more, but it draws comment. It draws comment, doesn't it, from Judas Iscariot. Leaving aside his criminality and perfidy, what is at the heart of that as well is something that we often fall into. We can become worldly people who know the price and cost of everything, but the value of absolutely nothing at all. The price of everything and the value of nothing. The true worth of nothing at all. We just see the whole world in terms of prices and costs. What is this thing worth? We have something different here. We have something else that's going on. We're moving into another world. Mary senses it. She senses something of the generosity of God, the foolishness of God. She senses something also of love's endeavor and love's expense. Not just a little bit of perfume, not just a dab here and a dab there. A little is enough, isn't it? A little goes a long way. As you realise sometimes with men's cologne, as I've realised over the years, far too much, and you get told. Just a little goes a long way. But no, all the perfume poured out. No thought of expense. And Mary letting her hair down. No thought of the shame and the ridicule. Mary's gesture is about her heart. And it is an informed heart. It is a human heart informed by God's love and by God's grace and by God's power. A transformed heart that is ready and able to take the risk and bear the cost. It's about her love. And we all know that love can appear to be foolish and bewildering. And maybe that's one of the defining, or two of the defining characteristics of love. Love is foolish and bewildering. It's not about the cost. It's about the true worth. It's not about things of this world, it's about the heart. Hearts have reasons. And the world cannot always see them. And the world cannot always see the human heart. And the world cannot always see God's heart, God's generosity, God's purposes. And those purposes are not being worked out through the usual ways. Jesus stands outside of the religious authorities. He stands outside of societies and its norms and its expectations. He stands with human beings, with broken human beings. We don't know the full motivation of Mary in coming to Jesus like that, but it is about gratitude. It is about a response to who Jesus is, who he was for her. He came to her in her brokenness. He came to her in humanity. And she responded. Her response is a pointer to God's love, to God's love being poured out. Not just a little bit of God's love, not a dab here and a dab there, that will be enough, but all of God's love being poured out. Like that perfume poured out into the world for all. And it may therefore appear to be foolish. It may appear to be wasteful, but nonetheless, this is how it is. Thought a little bit at the beginning about passion. Think a little bit to end for us as we go out into the world about compassion. A sharing of the determinations of others. A willingness to step into the experience of others. To come alongside them. Perhaps not to be in their shoes, but to be attentive to their footwear, to the wear and tear of their shoes, to the muddiness and state of their footwear. To come alongside others and to share with them in what is troubling and disturbing them, their storms, what is blowing through their lives, and to bring them something of God's perfume, something of that reckless and wild beauty that we see in Mary and that we see in Jesus as he goes to his cross. Something of that endeavour, of that reaching out, and something of that cost, which we do not pay with our own coin, which is paid for by God. Everything given for us, everything given for the world. In order that the world may be made beautiful and transformed. Amen.